Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome to another History of Motorsports in Motion. This one I'm going to call Soldered in Time. No family's racing story would be complete without mentioning the Sauter family. The history is far from written, as Johnny Sauter is making history on multiple levels to this day, namely the Camping World Truck Series, where at this time he is dominant with 4 wins and leads over Noah Gregson by 71 points. That's nearly 2 races worth. Jim Sauter, the father born June 1st, 1943, passed away October 31st, 2014 at 71. He started racing in 1964 in a modified at Raceway Park in Savage, Minnesota. Shakopee, Minnesota, maybe Prior Lake, Minnesota, depends upon who you ask. They all shared the same zip code. He quickly moved up to late models. He raced in all 3 of NASCAR's National Series and is best known for having been a test driver for the IROC, International Race of Champions, alongside Dave Marcus and Dick Trickle, as well as winning 2 championships in the Midwest-based ARCO Challenge Series in 1981 and 1982. Those were bookended by Dick Trickle in 1980 and 83. Those later became the K&M Pro Series, K&M Pro Series East, K&M Pro Series West. Sometimes they meet up in the middle, and they do host huge events, even one here at Elko from time to time. Also, Sauter took the track championship at Kakana, the Wisconsin International Speedway, in 1981 while doing multiple series. One where he ran in Cup, he ran in ASA, ran in the full ARCO series. His first Cup race was at Charlotte in the 1980 National 500 and final Cup race at Bristol in the Goody's Headache Powder in 1996. Although he had 4 top 10s only in that 76 race span, he never ran full time. I'm sure he would have put up much better stats. He made 4 starts in the Busch Series and 2 in truck. 1970 and 71 are what really launched Jim, as he was dominant in the IMCA IMSA Series and even finished first here in the North Star 500 at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds after close cohort Tom Reffner lost a wheel leading the race with 223 laps while leading Sauter. That previous year, Sauter finished second to Ron Hutchinson. Also, of course, Bob Doerr was the dominant force at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds, and Doerr wrecked out prior to that. In the 1971 win, driving for Dave Marcus, Sauter said the funny thing about that race was the fact that they had a barn full of various brands of tires that they wanted to use up, and ended up with Goodyear on the outside and Firestone on the inside. For only that reason, they wanted to use them up. Everyone thought it must be some kind of strategy, some kind of hot tip as far as the Firestones and the Goodyears. But Dave Marcus once again called Sauter in 1978, asked him to drive his car in the ARCA 200. Sauter battled Bruce Hill for the win on the last lap. They wrecked. Hill ended up in the wall, and Sauter won. Jim Sauter lapped the field for the first time when the ARCO Series visited Elko Speedway in Minnesota, July 26, 1981. I'm proud to say I was there for that, and flagman Ken Wallstead and track officials say it's one of their favorite memories at the Third Mile Oval. It's a pretty big deal. It was a 100-lap event. So obviously, you know, you had more time to lap the entire field, but still for him to do it, win it, hey, get her, got her done. Jim is also known as the father of Jay, Tim, Johnny, Jim Jr., who all pursued different levels of racing careers. As I trace through the history, I find one common denominator, and that is that the ASA series. Jim ran the ASA series. The boys made their way up through the ASA series to NASCAR. Of course, Jim raised them in the mecca that is Midwest short track racing in Wisconsin, namely their hometown of Nisida. The choices were endless. Wausau, La Crosse, Kakana, which is the Wisconsin International Speedway, Slingerland. Yeah, Wisconsin Dells, Milwaukee Mile, across the border in Rockford, Illinois, across the border in Minnesota at Raceway Park or Elko Speedway, down in Laverne, Minnesota. There was, as I just found out, there was actually only three paved tracks back then in Illinois, one being Rockford, another being Illiana, I believe. Illiana Raceway Park, and then the other, I forget. But needless to say, there was numerous dirt tracks all over the place, whether it was Rice Lake, Cedar Lake, Menominee. I could spend all decades talking about all them. That wasn't their choice. Jim made it very specific that he only ran asphalt. All the boys were cutting their teeth along the way. Jay broke out driving in the truck series for Felix Sabatis, Sabco, in 1996 en route to taking over the number three for Childress. In 1997, you know, the old Dale Earnhardt-looking Goodwrench truck. That was when Mike Skinner became the second cup team to Dale Earnhardt, where Skinner took Rookie of the Year in the Cup Series. Jay ran 90 starts from 1996 and collected four wins in the truck series. His first was at Loudon and then last at Texas in 1999. He also ran two in Cup in 2002 and 130 races in the Xfinity / Busch series from 2000 to 2007. Collected 23 top tens and one pole along the way. Another common denominator, he made many starts for Richard Childress as well as Johnny. And he also drove a car for Dave Marcus along the way. Tim Sauter. Tim took the ASA series in 1999 and again ran every major NASCAR series. out of 141 races in the three major NASCAR divisions, he only managed 10 top 10s. But once again, he was dominant in ASA and the ARCO series. And, of course, 99 ASA championship. He's second oldest to Jim's Boys next to Jay Sauter. Here goes the big one. Johnny, where do you even start? A lot of research and a lot of condensing and a lot of... So far, I've been covering stats, name-dropping the Childress name with the Sauter family, the Marcus name with the Sauter family, Mike Curb with the Sauter family. Jim said there is just something about John that sets him apart. I met Johnny on multiple occasions spanning from 1997 to now, and he is just that marketing dream, that talent. He still looks like a little kid. Comic relief in a rainout. Father Jim said that when John says he's going to be busy for a while, he meant it. He'd pack up in the late winter and not be back till winter began again. He was a workhorse. I'm going to call him a fun horse because he loved every minute of it, still does. I remember one day on TV when Jim was wearing his IROC True Value uniform, testing cars, and, you know, he's alongside there with Dick Trickle and Dave Marcus and the other IROC officials. He was asked how his sons are doing. He made reference that he heard that John was around there somewhere. They're at they're running the IROC series at Michigan that weekend, preparing cars. And Jim said, "I'll buy him dinner if he'll just slow down long enough." The first time I met Johnny was at the season finale at Elko, like I mentioned, where his dad, almost two decades before, lapped the entire field. He was a humble kid, fresh out of high school in 1996. I met him in 97. He made it no big deal of his family name. And wow, how his career literally hit the fast track. And it's still not about to slow down. The following year, he joined the ranks of Steve LeFevre Racing from Lakeville, Minnesota. That was a pretty big operation. They had multiple late models. ASA cars. They even rented cars from Jimmy Spencer to run Jimmy Mars at the Milwaukee Mile. It was a pretty big outfit. All the while, once again, Richard Childress had him on the radar. ASA was Johnny's focus before he went full-time in NASCAR running for LeFevre in ASA, and then Alec Pincinault was his final ride in ASA. I even recall Mike Garvey from LeFevre putting the bumper to him when Johnny had dominated Minnesota State for Miller Lite 300 and never got the lead back. I believe that was in 2000. Bigger and better things have happened for Johnny, and that bumper from a former teammate from LeFevre are long in the rear room. He posted 10 wins in the ASA in 2001 before his NASCAR career took off. Of course, winning the ASA championship in 2001. NASCAR career started to take off in 2001 for Childress in the then Busch series. So the guy was on the fast track of fast tracks. Johnny only amassed one top five in the Cup Series, but won three times in the Xfinity / Busch Series, with his first being at Chicago in 2002. He has 21 wins now in the Truck Series, as well as his 2016 Truck Series championship, a 2017 runner-up, and he's well on his way to a championship in 2018. Let's not forget to bring up, Johnny took over the number two AC Delco in the Busch Series after Kevin Harvick put it up as the championship when he pulled double duty in 2001, replacing the number three as the number 29 in the Cup when Earnhardt Sr. passed away. Harvick, of course, took the number two to the championship in 2001 and won multiple Cup races. Johnny shared duties with Harvick in the 21, and together they took the owner's title in 2003 in the Busch Series. At 40 years old, he is far from hanging it up, and I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get tapped on the shoulder and gets that first Cup win. It's yet to happen. Found out a fun tidbit, too. Johnny loves to play banjo. I can't picture it, but hey, never knew that about him. Smile on my face for that one. The last time Johnny ran the Cup Series on a regular basis was with Haas CNC, where Tony Stewart became majority share owner as Stewart Haas Racing began. As fate would be, this was what propelled him into what is now his huge success in the Truck Series. Jim raced with everyone from one-hit wonders to multi-time champions on all levels. I watched him run against the likes of Dick Trickle, Rusty Wallace, Alan Kulwicki, Ken Schrader, Mark Martin, Dale Earnhardt, Darrell Waltrip, even, you know, I mean, it's a big who's who, but everything, even testing IROC cars. We know that, but did you know that he did it with Sammy Swindell of the World of Outlaws? That was one of the few drivers from really outside of stock car racing that, I mean, it would have been really cool to see like John Forrest or maybe Tony Schumacher or, you know, someone like that to step in. But Sammy Swindell, that's just cool. Maybe Brittany and Courtney Forrest revived the International Race of Champions. They can put the Pontiac Firebirds going down the dragway. I mean, they're kind of like funny cars. Why not? I have to include, as I call this, the story of Sauter in Time. With a name like Sauter, S-A-U-T-E-R, ironically, it sounds like Sauter, S-O-D-E-R. And coincidentally, Jim was longtime sponsored by Burnsomatic Torches, which, of course, were used to solder. One thing I really respect about the years of Jim and his boys spent racing is that Jim came from the school of drivers that kept no secrets. If Trickle could help a guy be more competitive, that's what he did. If Jim could give a guy advice about tire bias, he did. If Rusty Wallace had knowledge about weight bias, weight distribution, he gave it. Sure, guys like Kyle Petty always said, if you weren't cheating, you weren't winning. Well, that's not something that the guys from the Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Missouri area ever stood by. I'm sure there was guys circumventing the rules, but I guarantee Jim wasn't one of them. Maybe that's why he made a great chief test driver for the IROC series. Thanks again for tuning in to another History of Motorsports in Motion. We'll delve into the Minnesota and Wisconsin trucks, as well as the Wallaces from Missouri, guys from Illinois, many, many more stories to tell. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Buffalo Wild Wings thinks your afternoons could use a little spicing up, so they're happy to remind you about, well, happy hour. You know the concept. Grab your friends and visit your nearest B-Dubs to score $4 shareables like street tacos, fried pickles, chili queso dip, mozzarella sticks, and roasted garlic mushrooms. There are beverages, too, like select domestic craft beers starting at $3.25, and deals on select liquor and house cocktails. Phew, that's a mouthful. Which reminds me, I'm hungry, and happy hour is sounding pretty good right about now. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. Offers and participation vary. Please drink responsibly. Void where prohibited.
Head over to your local Sprint store and get the Samsung Galaxy S9 for 50% off with Sprint Flex Lease when you add a new line. It's loaded with great features, including Samsung's best camera ever. Visit Sprint.com/Galaxy or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
Galaxy S9, $16.50 a month after $16.50 monthly credit. Applied within two bills for 18 months. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. With approved credit and $30 activation fee. Restrictions apply.
Head over to your local Sprint store and get the Samsung Galaxy S9 for 50% off with Sprint Flex Lease when you add a new line. It's loaded with great features, including Samsung's best camera ever. Visit Sprint.com/Galaxy or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
Galaxy S9, $16.50 a month after $16.50 monthly credit. Applied within two bills for 18 months. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. With approved credit and $30 activation fee. Restrictions apply.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed this week's Motorsports History in Motion segment on the Sauter family. Weekend recap, NASCAR. The Cup Series had the weekend off and will return at Sonoma Sears Point in California for their first road course event of the year, Sunday, June 24th. Points, obviously they had the weekend off, so they are still Kyle Busch in first, Harvick in second, Logano in third, Keselowski in fourth, Bowyer rounds out the top five, and last year's champ, Martin Truex Jr., just outside in sixth place. The Truck Series and the Xfinity Series did run at Iowa. The Truck Series ran Saturday evening, where hometown boy Brett Moffitt took the checkers with Noah Gregson in second. This was a great finish. Gregson put on a dive bomb on Moffitt coming through the final turns. And as Gregson put it, it was something he had done in a video game. I always love that. Noah grabbed the lead for a split second, got the wall just as he expected, got the wall just long enough for Moffitt to regain the lead. And of course, those video games are just that, games. So as said, Moffitt took the victory, Gregson in second. Harrison Burton, Jeff's kid, finished in third. David Gilliland picked up fourth, and points leader Johnny Sauter in fifth. Must mention that this was Harrison Burton's highest NASCAR finish to date. Hope there's many more to come, as he is very talented from his bloodlines between his dad, Jeff, and Uncle Ward Burton. Needless to say, Jeb Burton, Ward's son, too, has had multiple success between the Xfinity and the Truck Series. Johnny, as mentioned, still leads points by nearly two full races with Noah Gregson in second. Winner Moffitt is third in points, Stuart Friesen in fourth. Grant Infinger rounds out the top five. I'm proud of myself. I said his name correctly finally. Multi-time truck champion Matt Crafton sits just outside the top five in sixth. He was involved in an early race multi-car wreck or multi-truck wreck, depending upon how you want to put it. He never recovered well, so wasn't a big day for him. The Xfinity Series ran Sunday, where, as far as we know, Allgaier still has secured a win. You may remember that Allgaier was stripped of his win for infractions at Dover, where he and Junior Motorsports teammate Sadler finished 1-2. Sadler had a bad day in Iowa, though, but he does still lead the points after finishing 28th, 11 laps down. That was the week at Dover when young Isla Rose Earnhardt was born to Dale Jr. and Amy Earnhardt, and it was, or what I call, you know, the royal family of NASCAR. Christopher Bell took second, Daniel Hemric in third, Cole Custer fourth, and Brandon Jones in fifth. Points right now, Sadler, like I mentioned, still in the lead. Cole Custer in second, Daniel Hemric, Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, round out the top five. Allgaier still outside the top five in six due to those penalties at Dover. The trucks returned to Gateway Saturday, June 25th, and the Xfinity Series will return in less than 2 weeks at Chicago, June 30th, and followed up, of course, by the Cup Series the day after. In HRA, Courtney Force had her winning streak snapped as Ron Capps took the bunny car. Top field went to Tony Schumacher. Pro Stock, Jegs Jr., Jegs Coffin. Pro Cycle had the weekend off, but Top Harley ran in its place with Till Tharp taking the final. Lots happened down in the tube, I call it. I call it the tube as Bristol Dragway is truly a tube of what they call Thunder Valley. Probably the most beautiful dragway I've seen, located just across from Bristol Motor Speedway, nestled right there in the Appalachian Valleys. A couple of wicked wrecks in Pro Mod. Chad Green, he was under control at the finish line, but flipped into the sand trap. He was safe, but we have yet to find out why the car lost control. I believe it had something to do with the parachutes not deploying, something to that effect. And then, it was hanging upside down for a bit, and the crews got to him, and he was okay. And then Doug Winters lost it off the line in Pro Mod and barely missed Jeffrey Barker in the other lane. Winters walked out the door unharmed. So, could have been worse. Courtney Forrest still leads Funny Car by large. Steve Torrance leads in top field. Pro Stock, Greg Anderson, and then, of course, Andrew Hines had the weekend off, still holds Pro Stock Cycle as they were off for the weekend. NHRA returns June 21st through the 24th at Summit Motorsports Park in Norwalk, Ohio. IndyCar will be back June 24th at Road America, Wisconsin, in Elkhart Lake, where Scott Dixon holds the points lead. World of Outlaws, I haven't mentioned them for a while. Got to bring them up because they're going to be coming soon. Farley Speedway in Farley, Iowa on Friday, June 22nd. And then Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, Saturday, June 23rd, excuse me, sorry, for the J.B. Boyd Memorial. And that's always a big one. Beaver Dam is a long history dragway. Donnie Schatz has held the points for nearly all year. I'm patiently awaiting their arrival to Cedar Lake Speedway June 6th and 7th. Probably, 45 minutes away from me. Also, the ARCA series. As mentioned before, NASCAR has made an agreement to acquire the ARCA series in 2020. Till then, it's business as usual, and details aren't available at this time what kind of difference this may make in the series. I don't know if they're going to be second, third, fourth in the ranks as far as the Xfinity, the truck series, and ARCA itself. Obviously, Cup's still going to be top dog. Sheldon Creed has the leading points. I kind of like that. It's like the most recent Rocky movie, Creed. Wonder if he's got the gusto to live up to the name Creed. I'm also excited to have my first press pass. I'm not sure, but I believe the son of my once favorite driver, Son Harrison, as mentioned before, will be on the interest list for the ARC series at Elko June 14th. I can't wait. Related NASCAR news, once upon a time, Casey Kane was the pick for his success, but he struggled bad even before leaving Hendrick Motorsports. He joined Leaving, spelled L-E-A-V-I-N-E, number 95, single car operation. He still has yet to post 10, his average finish being 24th. They made a crew chief change over the weekend. I have my doubts this will make a difference. They are a single team. I believe KC has talent, but they need a team leader. They need, and it's a single car operation. It's just there. They need somebody there to step in and get done. Oh, what's the word looking for? They need more resources, I guess is what it comes down to. So a crew chief change, I don't think that's going to be enough to do it. I wish Casey the best. Casey is still very popular, and of course the women love his pretty boy image, so he won't be leaving anytime soon. Leaving, I once again said. Be back in a moment with TCAP.
No, I'm hearing something.
Hello, we are not available now. Please leave your name and phone number after the beep. We will return your call.
Call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 9524058208 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3. Are you still there? If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3. To continue recording where you left off, press 4. Are you still there? If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3. To continue recording where you left off, press 4. Sorry you are having trouble. Your message has been sent.
Please try again later.
Goodbye.
All right, I should be back online now. Not quite sure what the heck happened there. You got me now, Kurt?
Yeah, that was interesting. Oh,
it was very interesting. It's the first time that's happened to me. Somehow or another, I ended my show 20 minutes short, and things got really stupid. But that's okay.
Oh, before I forget, on how you mentioned the nephew of Ward Burton, could you imagine having him as an uncle?
Oh, you did hear that. You did actually understand that. My phone was cracking up over, let's go back to. I'm also excited to have my first press pass. I am not sure, but I believe that the son of my once favorite driver, Jeff Burton's son, Harrison, will be on the entry list at Elko July 14th. And that started breaking up and, related to NASCAR news, Casey Kane, yada, 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 yada. So we're back online. Hopefully, I didn't destroy my actual ratings for the night. I probably did. Who cares? So, hey, I found out the details on the Winnipeg. Who the hell was it? Stanley Cup deal. Barry Trotz resigns as coach of Stanley Cup winning Washington Capitals. Apparently, Trotz's contract was up. Actually, at the end of the 2016 year, not even the 2017 year, he had no options, and he asked for too much money, and hey, that's a very unusual circumstance now, isn't it?
Washington money? That never goes together. Thank you.
Hey, Joe Gibbs, too. I mean, Joe Gibbs. That's, Joe Gibbs held on to a job for how long?
Oh, man, it was a while. And just, how could anybody say anything bad about him? And even that transition into his other venture there, too.
And isn't it funny how we can tie this into a motorsports show?
Yeah.
Coach Joe Gibbs, Washington. Barry Trotz, Washington. Winner of the Stanley Cup, Washington. But yeah,
Ward
apparently.
Burton.
Maybe he visited Washington. I know that he's from Virginia. Him and Joe.
You know what would be great? You know what would be fantastic? Fantastic is asking Jeb Bush what, or Jeb Burton, what is it like having an uncle that had been a guest star on King of the Hill?
You know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ward and Boomhauer had a conversation with each other, and you couldn't even understand either one of them. And Ward Burton, man, I got to give him all the credit in the world for being that self-deprecating.
You know, I got to have some fun with this, too, because there was this douchebag Remember Buffalo Wild Wings right across the street from my old place in Columbia Heights?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, Earnhardt. I hated Jeff Burton because his name was too close to Jeff Gordon. But one day we finally sat down and he's like, "Want me to light your cigarette?" And I was like, "Sure." And he said, "You know what's not cool about Jeff Burton? He doesn't talk like Ward."
That's funny.
He said he's too clean cut. His name is Jeff. And that was also Jeff came down that front stretch at Darlington to take that Winston million. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. And I think a great name, I always got a great nickname for Ward Burton wouldn't have been the Caterpillar, but the Millipede. You know, it's a caterpillar, millipede, you know, tie in the sponsor there. And I think Caterpillar would have actually thought that was kind of cool.
Don't you think it's kind of funny, too, that when Jeff Burton went over to, talking about the Sodders, talking about the America Online car, the number 30, which Johnny drove, and the whole theme for the night, it became the number 31 singular car after Jeff took it over from Robbie Gordon, and then it became the Caterpillar sponsorship, which was Ward Burton's sponsor. Remember that?
Oh yeah. And I think it would have been cool to have like a bobcat, or even like a Toro sponsored car, and then they could have had Ward Burton against the guy in the Toro or bobcat sponsored car having a digging contest, you know, in their little in the shovelers. Oh, that would have been great. We're getting some product placements going here.
Hey, no. And you know what? My buddy Skip up there, he's got the Ingersoll Rand version of the Bobcat. And hey, I'm going to do a quick little product placement, by the way. So we're going to go do a dun 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 dun. Just kidding. Snap Dilly. Oh, Snap Dilly Bites. They're called Oh Snap. They have Oh Snap Dilly Bites, you know, kind of like dilly bars, but they're dilly bites, little pickles. I just found them today. They're really cool.
Oh.
Little pickle bites. And then they have Oh Snap Curd Bites.
Mm-hmm.
And they have Oh Snap Pepperoni Bites. They're GLK Foods, Appleton, Wisconsin. Everyone needs to call GLK Foods, Appleton, Wisconsin, and tell them they need to sponsor Speedway Anywhere. I only say that because you can only find them at Super Americas in Minnesota. Now, if you go to Wisconsin, you know what they call the Super Americas? Speedway Americas.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I just think it was that Speedway.
So now if you take Super America and Speedway America and then tie it together with Dick Trickle, Johnny Bagaman, Tom Reffner, the White, the Black, the Blue Knight, the Super American Knights, it's all fit. It's just fit. I mean, come on.
got to do that. So anyways, keep going.
No, I was going to tell the world I finally went and saw Solo yesterday. And speaking of racing, he wasn't racing anything, but I saw Han make the Kessel run. And there's an interesting side note there, people, for that have not seen it. And for the first time, anything Star Wars related, no Skywalker. No Skywalker connection whatsoever. By the way, I know everyone's seen it. And it's the first time I ever saw a hand gesture done in Star Wars. Lando gives the finger to somebody. Not giving away too much, but he made the Kessel run in parsecs. So remember that, people, when they're in the cantina and Han's talking about the Kessel run. Hey, Winnie, haven't talked about your horsey.
That's not Winnie. Yeah, it's the sound of a snoring baby. That is the sound of the Minnesota Lynx. That is the sound of the Minnesota Twins. I mean, we can't leave the show tonight without talking about neither one can get it done.
Well, the Twinkies this weekend had a good, they won the series against Cleveland. And
well, they won the series, but they didn't sweep it. You know, everyone's on that witch hunt. They're looking for that broom. So are the Twins. I mean, Republican, Democrat, whatever. They're looking for that broom. Doesn't matter what kind of Twins fan you are. To all that, I just say this.
That's what I said at my dinner.
Well, hope you got something out of it. So, yeah, Barry Trotz.
Well, my body got something out, but.
Okay, let's not go too far on this. So Barry Trotz resigns as the coach of the Stanley Cup winning Washington Capitals. Apparently Trotz's contract was up and wasn't able to get what he wanted. Rumor says he's going to the Islanders and in the hunt may just end up there. Todd Reirden is already in the Capitals coaching staff and is expected to take a head coach going to next season. Here's one that I wanted to squeeze in real quick, and this makes no sense because the NASCAR Hall of Fame inductees for 2019, not 18, 19, are already announced. But, hey, not quite understanding how the whole system works, but I wish I had this news last week. The Allison news was my story. But yeah, Allison is in. Gordon is in. Kobe is in. Penske and Roush are both in as owners. So, one nominee that really bugs me, Ray Evernham. He ended up marrying Aaron Crocker, who many suspected he was cheating on his wife and lacking focus on his Dodge teams and his own team. I find that far from an eligible inductee. What do you think of that? I think his credibility is just gone at that point.
Well, I think, I don't know how an affair could have had anything to do with it, but
went a lot farther than that. I mean, he was out on the road riding in the truck with her, spending nights in hotels with her. He was her crew chief of chiefs.
Well, let's. Do you think? Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I don't care. You know how them pit crews are with each other 24 hours a day. They still do their job, and apparently he couldn't, though. I mean, come on. They're with the driver, and they're getting into the Hall of Fame. So
are you saying that him and Jeff Gordon were sleeping together?
Yes, I am. Pretty boy in a pretty car. No.
The Rainbow Warrior and the Rainbow Warrior.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
What were they worried about and what were they worrying about? You know, that and the fact that Evernham's child with cancer, and then he ends up getting together with a girl one third of his age, and there's just no place for that in professional motorsports. There's just not. All right, we're going to start knocking down these doors to 8 o'clock. Knock, knock, knocking down at 8 o'clock. Come on, go ahead and sing it, Dylan.
By the way, that's who I'm going along, not GNR. Hey, there.
All right.
There you go. Could you imagine Bob Dylan doing Mr. Brownstone? Oh, that would be interesting. That old man, he's real. So and so.
No, well, that's a better version than you talking about Bob Dylan creating a brownstone. Let's go five to go. Five to go. Olive oil,
all right.
Pennzoil, or Olive Garden?
Oh, Olive Garden. Got to go with the Olive Garden. Endless breadsticks. Come on.
I don't care what kind of oil goes in my engine as long as it lubricates it. And, hey, I'm going to go with olive oil. I like skinny chicks. Although I love my chicken Alfredo. Four to go. KOA, Campgrounds of America, or Road America, as the Xfinity Series will be there in just a little bit.
Oh, I always go to Road America. I always wanted to go there. You know, and not too many people talk about it, but everybody forgets about it, but then it gets brought up. People remember it, and I always wondered how they came up with that name. You know, you just, could they come up with something else? Because, you know, you could put a Road America anywhere, but, you know, like, I always just thought it was a cool name, and it's, you know, just big road course in Wisconsin, and... You know, and
hey, Road Atlanta, Road America,
yeah.
You know, they all change hands. They all proprietors. We got to keep knock, knock, knocking on 8 o'clock. Three to go. I got to say, when they made the big dumbing down of the Gordon Snoopy car and Cartoon Network cars, didn't it turn off a lot of the hardcore redneck NASCAR fans?
Oh, I'm gonna disagree. I gotta say no. I just, I think what it did more of, though, because the Cartoon Network car, it got people to look at a sponsor, and I gotta admit, you know, the good old boy network, you know, they were the ones that started it, and then they got Madison Avenue in it. So, you know, which
right,
I
knock,
think
knock,
only
knocking
helped
on
them.
8 o'clock. Got to keep going. And that was the year that they came up with all the Snoopy statues in the Twin Cities area. Two to go. Sherry Moon Zombie, Mary Rob Zombie, she's going to be the grand model horse, whatever, at Brainerd, the Dragula. Doesn't even matter, because Rob's not going to be driving it.
Dragula, the only person that can drive it, to me, it's always Herman Munster, period.
Hey, Rob Zombie or Dragula? All right, final lap. Jim Sutter, chief test driver in IROC? Or should he have been a pancake tester for IHOP? Or should we go test the new burgers at the renamed IHOP?
Gonna go with choice A.
Choice A? Jim Sutter?
Yeah.
IROC?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Victory Lane. Thank you, Captain Kurt. This has been Speedway Anywhere, Blog Talk Radio / Speedway Anywhere. Wherever you go, get there fast. We'll be back Thursday at 7 p.m. with the biggest, bestest, baddest motorsports and multi-sports draw on earth.
Blog Talk Radio.